Here, we appreciate that good singing. Didn't you enjoy that? Amen. And I know it's Christmas and that sort of thing, and you're probably looking for something out of Luke 2 or Matthew 1, but I preach what the Lord gave me or what I feel like it. If you got your Bible, let's open up to Luke 18. Luke 18, very familiar Christmas passage, Luke 18. Amen. I will say, when you find that place, if you're able, let's stand and we'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I sure enough would like for the Lord to help you this morning. And He's able and He wants to. It'll be on your end whether you get it or not. Amen. And if you leave here this morning without help from God, it's not because God didn't provide it and don't want you to have it. Amen. Bible says this in Luke's Gospel chapter 18. And we'll start reading in verse number 1. I'm going to skip down a few places, and we'll just try to do the best we can. Bible said in verse 1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Notice the Bible said in verse number 9, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, not even lift up so much his eyes unto the heaven, but he smote upon his breast, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'll read just a few more verses in verse 35. Bible said, and it came to pass, and as he was nigh unto Jericho, had a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and to hear the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him, saying, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And boy, I like this next verse, and we'll bring the message. He said, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you, and the Lord, we're thankful to get to be here. And God, I pray for a few minutes of time, and the Lord, that you'd help me. And the God, I know this week, and the Lord, you know that God, and we're not deserving of a touch from God. And the Lord, we've not lived good enough, and we've not done right enough. And so, God, as we come, and we're asking you to help us, and because you're good and you're good alone, and God, I pray, and may the Word of God find a safe lodging place. I pray, God, may it get down on the hearts of men and the women here this morning. And God, I pray that, Lord, if there be somebody here that does not know the Lord Jesus, I pray this would be the day that God may trust in you with all their heart. And Lord, I sure love you and I thank you. I ask you for all these things and all that you will do and have done. And God, we bless your high and holy name. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice here the whole chapter, and I'll try not to be too long, but this whole chapter oftentimes, whenever you preach on it or whenever you've heard somebody maybe talk about it, they would divide it up. And they'd talk about prayer in those first four. And then they talk about the publican. And they talk about the children and the rulers love of money, and they go all the way down. But God got to deal in my heart about some things in this passage. I'd say this, and I hope everybody in here would agree to this fact, that one thing that's lacking in our churches today, and you hear me say it all the time, is that fervent prayer of the people of God. Amen. And I want you to listen, dear friend. I talked with folks, and it seems like so many people in our day, I mean, they almost don't want God to do nothing. I was talking with some folks the other day, and they said, really, what difference does it make? And whether we pray or not, I said, God's going to do what He wants to do, and it doesn't make no difference whether we pray or not. And well, the only problem with that is it's not so. Amen. And now listen, friend, there are some things that God is going to do no matter what. Everybody understands that. It doesn't matter who the president is here. It doesn't matter who it is in Russia. Everything is headed for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back and take the church out and then to sit on His throne. And it doesn't make any difference who's there. That's going to happen. Amen. But listen, friend, I got to thinking about Esther. And you remember old Mordecai told Esther, he said, listen, we're in a bad way. And the people of God's about to die. And said, now look here, if you hold your peace at this time, and that there shall arise deliverance out of somewhere else. He said, but you and your people will be dead. In other words, thank God this. And God was going to do something. But it'd be a good thing to pray and to get God to help us. Don't you guess that's right? And now look here, friend, I want you to understand, I can't want something for you that you don't want for yourself. How you ever get to that place where you really want God? And the Bible says that when they seek me with all their heart, that they would find me. Amen. And so this whole chapter says, and I want you to notice a few things. And what we find is the whole thing begins in verse 1. He said, He spake a parable unto them to this end. And so the Lord tells you what it's about. He said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If the Lord said that, that let me know that we're probably all apt to faint. Amen. I give you three or four things this morning, and I try to be a blessing to the people of God. And if you're hearing your laws, I want you to give particular attention. And the first thing we find is this in verse number 1 is that there is an action of prayer. And the Bible said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'd say this too, thank God. And one of the best blessings that we've ever had as far as believers is the fact that we get to pray. Amen. I mean, look here, friend. You understand you can't even do it wrong. Amen. I mean, listen. I've been around some folks, thank God, and they've just read pain, and they've had some of the prettiest words, and it's like that. Thank God some speechwriter wrote their prayer whenever they done it. Brother Savage never have been able to pray like that. I remember there was a time that's a little boy, and thank God, listen, I knew that they was going to be calling on folks to pray. Now, they didn't call on me, but I went home, and I tell you what I done. I rehearsed that prayer. I wrote that thing down on a piece of paper. I thought if they call on me today, I'll impress everybody here with how good this prayer is. They didn't call on me that day. They called on me the next day, and I tried to remember how to say it, and this is how my prayer went. I said, dear God, and my mind went blank. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God. Friends, you can't impress God, and I'm not looking to be impressed with the words that you use. I'll tell you this, I want you to hear me. That prayer don't come from up here. That prayer comes from down here. It's not uttered in words. Thank God it's an outpouring of the heart. It's not trying to impress God. It's not trying to cover yourself. It's thank God trying to commune from where you're at to where He is. And I'll say this, I'm glad I don't have to go through the Pope to do it. Amen. I don't have to go through the Baptist. I don't have to go through a preacher. I thank God for prayer lines. But I got good news. Amen. You can have a direct line anytime you want to call on God to get help. Amen. I want you to listen. The first thing He said, helps it me not always to pray and not to faint. I tell you this, dear friend, I want you to hear me real carefully. What a blessing it is when you don't know what to do, that you can pray. Amen. But listen, I want you to hear me. I'm telling you, in our day, folks would rather talk to somebody else or get on Google, but they're not much interested in talking to God. Amen. And so I'd say to you that my
my friend, the Bible said that men ought always to pray. How you say, I don't feel like praying. I'd say that qualifies men ought always to pray. How you say, my life's in pieces. I'd say that'd be a good time to pray. How you say, I ain't prayed in a while. That's no better time than today. Amen. And then to kick that thing back off. How you say, preacher, hey, some folks that I talk to, that they almost are so proud of their sin and their rebellious lifestyle. They say, God in heaven, I wouldn't do this or he wouldn't do that. But I'm telling you, God will do everything he said he would. If you'll call on God, he'll do just what he said he would. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, he said you ought to pray. And then I want you to notice what you find. And the Bible goes on down in verses 2 through 8. And we find not only is there the action of prayer, but then we find the advocacy of prayer. I like this real good. And the Bible begins to tell us a story. And it says that there was a widow. And verse number 3, watch your Bibles now. It said, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, and though I fear not God, and nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, unless by her continual coming, as she wearies me. Amen. And what's the next verse? He said, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not the God avenge his own elect? I got to thinking here in the advocacy of prayer. He begins to tell a story. I want you to listen real good. And when he begins to tell this story, he begins to compare this widow with the people of God and how she'd have to go to the unjust judge, but how we get to go to the just judge. And I thought about this. I want you to listen real good. I got thinking about the first thing I noticed, Delmer. Yes, and thank God when it was coming time for her to go call on somebody, she had to go to the courtroom of law. But whenever I call on Christ, I get to go to the throne room of grace. Amen. There's a vast difference. I dare never been standing on the authority of the law and throwing myself on the mercy of God's grace. Amen. Hey, listen, what a blessing it is. And when you come to pray and you say, I don't deserve to be here. I ought not be in this place. I ought not be able to talk to God. I ought not be able to call on Christ. And yet God has said that I can come. Amen. I notice this, thank God. The Bible said when she got there, that where she went, the judge was unjust. But I got good news. Anytime you go to the throne room of grace, it's always a just God. The Bible said in Genesis 18 and verse 25, it said, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Amen. Have these folks, they say, Brother Kevin, I've been praying for some things and praying for some things and praying for some things, and God's not done it. What you need to put on there is God's not done it yet. Amen. And thank God, keep praying. I'd say this, don't stop just because it gets a little tough. And don't stop because you don't see nothing happening. And thank God, listen, all I know is when we pray by faith, I've got proof in the scripture. There's a bowl in heaven that's filled with the prayers of the saints of God's people. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. That's so what we find here is that she goes up and to the throne of grace to a just one. But I like this. It's caught on me. Whenever I was studying about it, in verse number 5, it talks about how lest this widow should trouble me. He said, lest by her continual come and she weary me. And the difference between where I go and where they go as to this unjust judge, he got wearied by her coming. But our judge, he welcomes us when we come. Hey, listen, you understand. I prayed to God in about every situation you can. I prayed to him when I was lost. I prayed to him when I've been stuck in sin. I prayed to him whenever I've been caught. I prayed to him when I've been right. I just thank God. I've been in every situation that God has welcomed me to come pray. I prayed to him in hospitals. I prayed to him in funeral homes. I prayed to him in church houses. I prayed to him going down the road. Hey, listen, I prayed to him when my heart has been full with joy. And I prayed to him when it's been overcome with sadness. I'm saying this. What a friend we have in Jesus. And we can pray at any time. And pray in any place. And pray in any prayer. And thank God. And God says, come, I kind to me. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I'm glad that I'm welcome to come to God. And I notice this. I want you to watch. I'm trying to get there. You stay with me. We'll preach the message in a minute. And this is all introduction for a real short message. I want you to see there's the action of prayer. And verses 2 through 8, there's the advocacy of prayer. And verses 9 through 14, there's the attitude of prayer. I want you to watch this. And I hope that you'll hear me real careful. And right here's why more folks and don't get help than what do. It's when they approach God, they've got the wrong attitude. Amen. And now watch this, fella. You understand these two men in this story? He's a publican and he's a Pharisee. I'll tell you a few things about it. That old Pharisee, when he showed up to church that day, he showed up to be heard. How about the publican showed up to get help? Amen. I'd say it like that at Amazing Grace today. These folks here, that you may have showed up to be seen. How about these other folks here that showed up because they know they need help? Amen. I don't know which category you fall in. I can just attest to where I'm at. I'm not impressed with even their own words. But I am glad that when I come to the house of God, it says a place that I can get help. Amen. I want you to watch the scripture. Amen. That fellow shows up and he showed up to get help and he didn't show up to be heard. And then I got noticing this. That Pharisee, when he showed up to church, this makes me happy. I feel like this could happen at about any Baptist church on any given day. That old Pharisee, he shows up to the house of God, and when he shows up and he walks in, his prayer, it goes something like this. He says, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm not an extortioner like Gavin is. He said, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm not unjust like Joe is. This ain't true, but I want to go on record. I'm just going down the scripture. I want to thank you, Lord. I'm not an adulterer like old Bobby Coger is. Amen. I mean, listen, we go all the way down there, and you say, I'd never say none of those things. And none of those things is true. Amen. How about look here? We sit in the church all the time, and we'll say something like this. And we'll say, well, that person over there is a hypocrite. How about that person over there? Come on, help me right there. And we'll say, well, Lord, I want to thank you. I wouldn't go down there to church. Amen. I wouldn't go to where there's a bunch of hypocrites. I'll tell you what I know they've done. And they'll go down the list. I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm not this. Sometimes I get a little, I can get like that. I'll say, Lord, thank you, I'm not a Catholic. And the Lord, thank you that I'm not I go down, fill in the blank, whatever it is. How about you come to the house of God and you say, how come? I can't never get no help. That's because you're focused on everything wrong around you. Amen. How you say that person's got problems? That person's got problems. That person's got problems. That person's got problems. But what about you? Amen. How you say, oh no, preacher, I'm doing good in life. You're aligned with what you're doing. Amen. I know it, you know it, and God knows it. Amen. And so you come to the house of God. But it's much easier to point out the faults and everybody who's tried and to sit at the house or to go down the road or to go at your job or to sit in the church and justify why nothing's happening in your life. It's much easier to say it's somebody else's fault. Amen. But look here, friend. I've got good news, good news. That old publican, he wasn't interested. He come to the house of God, Kim. He didn't look around. He said, now look here, you understand. Yeah. If we were to take time and just look around, you'd probably find fault with who's sitting to the right of you. I'd probably find fault with who's to the left of you. I'd probably find fault with who's in front of you. That'd be this guy right here. Amen. And you could find fault with who's behind you. And as long as we're looking in those directions, always find fault. But boy, if we'd look up, amen, and we never would find no fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what that old publican did. He just showed up in the house of God. He said, it's not them. That Bible says that I like how it says, said he stood afar off. And thank God, and he smote himself on the breast. And he said, Lord, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. I was reading this the other day. This made me happy, but it'll prove a good point. This king of Prussia, it said, way back in the 1700s, he went to visit his prison. And he said, whenever he went to the first cell, Braden, he said, hey, how's everything going? And said, that feller said, I'm innocent. I said, I didn't do what I'm accused of. And he went to the next cell. And he said, what about you? And he said, oh no. He said, they've got the wrong guy. And he said, what about you? And he said, oh no, it's a case of mistaken identity. And he came to the last cell and he said, sir, he said, I guess it's a bad case of mistaken identity. He said, oh no. He said, I'm guilty and I deserve every second of every punishment that I get. And said, he hollered at the guard and he said, sir, get this fella out of there. And he said, what? He said, he's guilty. He said, I know it. He said, he's the only one guilty in the whole place. And he said, I don't want him to corrupt everybody else. Amen. I'm going to say this to you. I thank God you'll get out of your prison. And when you stop blaming everybody else and say, it's me. Amen. Oh, yes. Say, thank God we come down. We come down and we pray. Where'd my Bible go? Amen. Praise the Lord. We come down and pray. And we look around. We say, Lord, I mean, look here, friend. We say, it's them. They're extortioners. They're unjust. I get so tired of folks saying that stuff about the church, don't you? He'll say, listen, I wouldn't do that, thank God. I wouldn't go to church with them. I'll tell you who we got to be careful of is going to church with people like that. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Everybody who's got everything together, I don't even trust you. You stay away from me. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. I can't even relate to folks. If they walk into church and when they walk in, everything's just right in their life. And all they can do is sit on their big throne of ivory and look down at everybody else and pick out what's wrong in everybody else's life. That's why you're miserable. Amen. Never get no help with God till you get where this is at. Amen. And then I want you to know, notice his. I find that whenever he shows up in that place, here's what the Bible said when he did pray. Verse 11 said he prayed thus with himself. This old fella here wasn't interested in praying to the Savior. Only interested in praying to himself. And boy, thank God. How many times that's happened. Hey, listen, friend. He never made contact. His words were good words. He sounded good off his lips. He sounded like they was right. But he never made contact with the Savior. Amen. But I'll tell you this, you come to the house of God to get help, understanding what you are, that you've got an advocate before God, you can get help today. Amen. Watch what the Bible says, verse 15. It said, and they brought unto him also infants. I find there's the action of prayer and there's the advocacy of prayer. And then I like this, verse 15. It said, they brought unto him also infants that would touch them. It said, but when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called on them and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I find the great approach of prayer. I mean, what a blessing it is. I was reading this, honey, the other day, and this is what it said. It said that whenever a king sat on his throne, it said that soldiers only came when he summoned them. If you wanted to come stand before him, Dustin, you had to wait for the good king to say, hey, if you're a soldier, I need you to come. Only servants came whenever he summons them. As a matter of fact, you can find in the book of Esther, only spouses came when he summons them. You didn't get to come before the king unless the king summons you, unless one rule. That said, anytime you went in the king, you was liable to see his son playing around the throne anytime. He did not need an invitation to come because he was related to the king. I'll say this, thank God. If you're a servant, you may not always get to come. If you're a soldier, you may not always feel welcome to come. But those that are saved as sons and daughters and bought by the blood, name written down, you've got liberty to come. Amen. I think we've robbed folks out of a great deed. We sat in the house of God, and there's folks that want to come to the throne in their heart. But they're so worried about what everybody around them says, Donnie. And shame on the church for making them feel that way. I feel the Lord helping me right there. Come to the house of God, and everybody's only concerned about you. You know how it goes. Now look here, I've been in church a little while, Justin. I mean, I've been in church 9 months before I was born. I've been in church most of my life. And as to come in the house of God, here's what I know. I've been in a part of those conversations. Somebody went and prayed. And then before they could get out the door, somebody's calling and saying, well, I wonder what's wrong with them.
That's right. Amen.
Well, probably nothing now. They took care of it if you'd leave them alone. came in with nothing. I mean, they came in a bad way. And now so many folks not interested. I'll tell you this. Look here. Let me go. I don't want to get mean, but I could get a little right there. I'm going to say this. It's a shame that there's more people interested in getting on the phone trying to figure out what's happening than there are coming up to the altar and trying to help them pray it through. Say amen right there. Y'all know that's right. Amen. And then what happens is one by one, there's been folks that's been a part of those conversations. But when God gets to dealing in their heart, they no longer feel liberty to come up and talk to God about it. So they sit at home till things get shipwrecked.
Yeah, brother.
Because they're afraid of what the brethren's going to say. See, listen, I'm getting there. Y'all stay with me. Don't tune me out yet. They get this little baby and they start bringing that baby to Christ. When they bring this infant and the young children, the Bible says, Barbara Jo, they get to bringing it. All the disciples said, don't do that. Now look here, I never have had any problem out of the world too much. It's not sinners that are against me too much. But boy, church people, Brother Wayne, let me back up. Religious people, Brother Matt, got a lot of problem with them. They act like that they are the key to who gets to come down to the altar and get help with God. That they're the ones who knows everybody's heart and they can judge the motives when they get up. But God help us. God said, no. He said, we ain't going to do it like that. He said, you let them little kids come to me. Amen. I thank God I take that as a personal invitation that in any shape I'm in, I've got a right to come and to fall on the mercy of God and to get help from God.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, Brother Kevin, if you and Allison were to come up and pray, everybody's going to think your marriage is in trouble. Well, I'd rather them think that and help me pray about it.
Amen.
Amen.
Than for me to keep my seat. Me just, Brother Delmer, stay in my seat and act like everything's right while everything around me burns to the ground. I spoke that by permission. Amen. All right, we're getting there. Stay tuned. I'm getting there. Everybody all right? Smile at me. Y'all okay? I know there's food over there, and that's usually whenever I get, you know, folks try to cut my liberty, but I'm going to preach till I get done. We find there's the advocacy, the attitude, and the approach. I want you to watch this. Even whenever nobody else wanted that child to come, Christ still did. That helps me if it don't help nobody else. Everybody else said, leave them alone. They don't need to come. Now, all that's great. But you know what the Lord does at the end of this chapter? Now, don't miss it. This is a five-minute message. Tyler, all that was built up for a short five-minute message. Y'all listening real good? He ties it all up with the story at the end of this chapter. You want to know what this looks like in practical life? It looks like all of those things tied up into one place in one man's life at the end of this chapter. It makes me so happy. I can't hardly stand it. This is what it says, if I can read it. He said, and it came to pass... That's a whatever verse that is, 35. Came to pass that as he was nigh to Jericho, that's a cursed city. That means he is a going down. Yeah. I wish, don't miss this. Hey, man, I feel like folks is cutting me off, and you cutting me off at a good time. He said, but a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. That means what? Nothing much happening. He was by the wayside. But they told him the Lord was a passing by. Now watch this. The very first thing he had to do, the first thing we said, to this end, men ought always to pray, not to faint. What's the very first thing he does? Bible says there in verse 38, and he cried. Yeah. I'll tell you this, if you're ever going to get any help, that's where it'll start.
Amen.
You're going to have to get to a place where you're interested in crying out to God for it. Amen. Said he cried. And then watch who he cried to. That's that whole story about the Pharisee and the public. I mean, the whole story about the widow and the unjust and the just. The Bible said, and when he cried, watch what it says there. It says, saying unto Jesus, thou son of David. Boy, I like that next part. Have mercy.
Amen.
On me. on me. Kyle, I can't get forgiveness for you. Donnie, I can't get forgiveness for you. I can't get repentance for you. I can't do none of those things. I can't even get help for you. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can get help for me. I get to that place where I come up, sat by my daddy, said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what them good religious people did? Misty, you know what they did? Look, Kim. They came by and they said, I wish you'd hold your peace. In other words, they said, this ain't time for you to talk. You need to be quiet. The master's coming passing by, and he ain't got time to fool with you. You know what the reality is, Shannon? That's the whole reason he came by that way that day.
Right. Yep.
Passed by in Ty. When he passed by, they said, hey, hold your peace. You don't belong. And Kyle, you know what said he done? I love it. He said, I'm going to do this, and I can't help y'all. I don't know why y'all don't want me to get a hold of God. Why y'all don't want me to have no joy. Why y'all don't want me to get be able to see. He said, but I'm tired of sitting by the wayside begging. And I'm not going to hush today when the Lord's passing by my way. And so he cried all the louder. So much the more. How loud do you reckon that is? He cried, and then he cried more. Then he cried much more. And all like that, he said, so much more. And then just like that little child, you know what it says about him? He said that Jesus stood still and commanded that he be brought to him. You said, brother, somebody just bring me. Oh, somebody's trying to. That sweet Holy Ghost is dealing in your heart about what you are. Listen to me, that's conviction.
Right.
It's not funny feelings. It's not hair standing up on the back of your neck. It's not goosebumps on your arms. It's whenever a holy God gets to revealing in your heart how wicked you are and how desperately you need Him. So He commanded that He brought. And I like what this says. The Lord said, what will you that I should do unto thee? When he got there, the Lord left it up to him. He could have just beat around the bush. But on this day, he decided to get honest with God. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And immediately, just like everything else the Lord ever does, the Lord said, you know what I like about it? I'm done. Stand to your feet, I'm done. But I want you to watch this. You know what makes me happy about that, Rodney? As soon as the Lord touched him, you know what it said he did? It said he went back to the wayside begging. That is not what it says. It does not say that. You know what it does say? It said, but he followed him in the way, glorifying God. I don't know how long he sat begging, but I never find him doing that again. I'm asking you this as we come, whoever's going to play some song, whoever's going to give an invitation, let's come to the piano, if you will, and I don't, whatever you're just going to sing. Let me say this to you today. I can't look in your heart and you can't look in mine. But there's a God in heaven knows where you're at today. If you're lost and you need to be saved, I'd quit sitting by the wayside begging. If you're out of fellowship with God and you need to be restored, I believe I'd just quit sitting by the wayside begging. I'll tell you, if there's things in your life that the devil's discouraged you from and you need to keep praying for them, I believe I'd just get encouragement from God and keep coming to Him. I don't know your heart today, but I do know this. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I've cleared my heart. Go ahead, sing some song.